I'm Jeannie.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Nikki from Tyrion's Landing,
a podcast member of the Gonna Geek Network,
just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to the Starling Tribune. I am Stargate Pioneer, my friends call me SP, and your reporters for this 10th episode of Season 4 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
There's no part of my plan that requires you to be alive.
And Neil.
So you're back to dropping bodies now?
And I am SP. You know what you have to do, right? You have to kill the son of a bitch. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, January 21st, 2016, live on the Plub streaming service. We're just a few guys that discuss the TV show Arrow. Just a little reminder that I am not a comic expert. I'm a sci-fi guy at heart, but I'm catching up with the comic lore a little bit thanks to folks like Chris.
I'm a comic god.
And Neil.
I won't go that far, but I has all the comics and the cheeseburgers.
I want a cheeseburger.
At some point in time, you guys need a segment comparing your pull lists, that's for sure. Okay, during this podcast, we'll be talking about what happened in episode 10 of the CW television show Arrow, as well as news articles and announcements that dropped during the winter hiatus, because we haven't been around since then. And it is news that could impact future episodes. And it will contain spoilers for upcoming episodes, so consider yourself warned. All of our past shows can now be found in the archives at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. What do I mean by that? Is that there is now a podcast for each episode of Arrow on the feed. So if you want to know about any specific episode, they're all out there. Now,
well done, SP, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. It was a team effort, and there will be some remastering going on, so some of the podcasts will eventually change, but they will be on the same episode, so there you go. Okay, this is the first episode back from the winter mid-season hiatus. Yes, it is the mid-season premiere, and it's great to be back, isn't it, Neil?
It is awesome. I've missed this show so much over the holidays.
It was good. So was Agent Carter. That was on Tuesday night. Sadly, I have not had a chance to watch Flash. I've heard it's really good. I have not had a chance to watch... Well, I'm like 20 minutes into Supergirl, and I have not had a chance to watch Legends of Tomorrow. So, Cajun Chan in the chat just said he just finished watching Legends of Tomorrow, and it was legend, wait for it, dairy. So, I can't wait to see it. Okay, Neil. So we have this Arrow episode. Break it down for me.
Season 4, Episode 10, Blood Debts. Air date of Wednesday, January 20th, 2016. The first episode of 2016, directed by Jesse Warren. And he's got some mad directing credits to his name. 10 episodes of Arrow. 2 of the current series of Shannara, which is going on MTV. So... if you're a fan of The Sword of Shannara, Elfstones of Shannara, definitely check that out. 1 episode of Supergirl, 2 episodes of Flash, 8 episodes of Spartacus, 4 episodes of The Vampire Diaries, and tons more genre. So, Jesse Warren, my hat goes off to your credentials in genre television. The writers are Oscar Baladrama. I think I might have got that right or butchered it. It's 50-50.
Yeah, I think you got that right, actually. I think we talked about this before.
Oscar has 4 writing credits, but 46 script coordinator credits for Arrow. So,
wow.
Yeah, he knows his way around an Arrow script. And co-writer is Sarah Tarkoff. This is her first Arrow writing credit. So, hats off, Ms. Tarkoff. Congratulations on joining the writing team. But no stranger to the CW, 16 Jane the Virgin scripts and as script coordinator, and 12 Gossip Girl scripts. So it's very cool to see her make the jump into a co-writer for the series.
Right. Now, before we move on, Chris, you have picked up that MTV show, correct?
I actually started watching the Shannara Chronicles. I've watched the first 3 episodes, I think, and I've never read the books. So that was the caveat. I saw that Jon Favreau was involved, and I watched a commercial and saw Manu Bennett when Slade Wilson himself was on there and said, you know, that's enough for me to check it out. And it does have its flaws, but it is enjoyable, and I get to enjoy Manu Bennett on screen again. But it does make me a little sad because it means we're probably not getting Slade Wilson back anytime soon.
Probably not. Not to divert us even further, but talking about Manu Bennett, remember my find last holiday season with the Spartacus complete season for like $25? Yeah, I've started watching that. I'm about 6 episodes in. So Manu Bennett in all of his glory is there. So,
wow. Chris, I am like the opposite on the Shannara series. I haven't started watching it yet. I'm trying to figure out how to get it up here in Canada. But the very first Shannara book, so Elfstones of Shannara, which the current series is based on, was the second book in the series. The first one was The Sword of Shannara. Mm-hmm. And that is the first fantasy novel that I ever used my own money to buy. I was an avid reader, and my parents would buy me novels up to that point. It was 2.5-3 inches thick. It was a bad boy book. I think I was in grade 4 at the time, and I was so happy. So it puts a smile on my face to see that it's in mainstream TV now.
I'm very tempted right now because I saw on Amazon there's both a Kindle and print edition. It is either the first 3 or 4 books of the Shannara series combined together for $20. And I'm tempted to go and buy it. I'm reading too much other stuff, and I have too much other TV and podcasting I have to do right now. So I'm like, when will I read?
You know what? Go with the TV series. It's not like George R. R. Martin.
We also know the weakness in my geek game was when it comes to fantasy. I'm not a huge fantasy fan. That's why I was shocked I've kind of enjoying Shannara Chronicles. Because remember, if you've seen me in other stuff, I regularly dog on the Lord of the Rings and the fact that everything walks. Thank you, Kevin Smith.
Nice.
Right. We'll talk about Kevin Smith a little bit later, too. But for now, let's get back to the main event in this podcast on Arrow. We all watched it. I watched it twice. It was good. As a matter of fact, I was a little confused the first time I watched it. So, who is this machine guy? I don't understand. I don't remember. So, I have an Arrow podcast and I don't remember what one of the main characters is. So,
well, that's the problem when it goes on hiatus for like a month and a half. You kind of forget everything that happened unless you mainline them all again.
I did. So, I had to go and read a synopsis. So I was like, oh, that's the guy, and watched it again. I was like, okay, I get it now. I got it. So,
right.
Anyway, it was good. The fights were good. The storyline was good. Let's go subject by subject. So, first of all, overall theme, Neil?
So, I was torn. There was a lot of enduring quality of love themes in this episode, you know, Diggle and Andy, Ollie and Felicity. But then I was like, well, maybe it's really returning to your roots and remembering who you are. So, Diggle remembering he's a big brother, and Ollie remembering that he's not a killer anymore and that he loves Felicity. Then I thought, maybe it's just killing your opponents when you have the chance, like Anarchy, like he should have, and Ollie killing people when he should have, and Damien probably having killed Ollie when he should have. But I'm going to go back to remembering who you are. What do you guys think?
For me, it's don't piss off Oliver Queen, because he'll do bad, bad things then.
He will, and he won't think about it either. He's like, I need to avenge. And Laura calls him out on it, right? Laura's like, you say what you're saying, but do you really? I don't think you really believe it. That was an awesome conversation.
We've made jokes before, and other people have made jokes before, that Arrow is Batman light, because there's so much Batman stuff that goes to place. Bruce Wayne, if you make him angry, all he does is calculate more and come up with plans and thinks things through. Oliver here, loose cannon, basically. He's like, I'm angry. I want vengeance. We're going to take care of this, and it has to be done now. And the interesting thing is, you would think Felicity would be the one most angry about the fact he's doing this. No, she's the one that's the most understanding of it.
Yeah, let's go to Bali. Is Damien there? Because if Damien's there, we'll go to Bali. And if Damien's not there, we have no business in Bali. So that's crew. At some point in time in my show notes, I put in, Ali is not a strategic thinker. He's more tactical. I know he's thinking broad and he wants to fix Starling City and all that stuff. But what, when it comes to him getting mad and wanting revenge, he's very tactical. He's like, okay, I'll put a tracker on this guy. I'll send him out. We'll talk about that later. We'll send him out and then we'll know where Damien is. I'm like, okay, so that's great. And burning Quentin too. So it's all tactical decisions that will have really bad strategic effects down the line. So yeah, all these loose cannon.
Is Quentin actually burned is the real question here, because Anarchy found it first. So you could spin it that way, that Oliver was tracking him and didn't get intel from Quentin. So I'm not sure whether he's burned or not.
I thought about that, but then I thought, no, they're going to go with he's burned. I think it's more dramatic. I took it back a step, though, and I'm like, he may not be a tactical thinker, but I think he just needs to blow off some steam. So whether he thinks he's going to get the ghost to actually give him the thing, it's kind of like going to the gym for Ollie, except, you know, he spends most of his time in the gym. So why not just go out and beat the heck out of a bunch of the ghosts? It probably made him feel better.
That works.
Well, the first time I watched it, I thought Ollie threw that ghost over the rooftop at the beginning. And then the second time I watched it, I think this is what I remember seeing, is that the ghost actually jumped off the roof himself into the electrical transformer. Ollie didn't actually kill him, as I thought. And then talking about that, fight scenes. Awesome. What do you guys think?
I had issues with how Anarchy fought, but we can talk about him as a villain later.
Yeah.
I think the choreography with the double segmented staff was awesome. We're seeing more martial arts brought in again. Bam Bam is the master of fight choreography. So it was awesome to see some more martial arts weaponry brought into it. More one-on-two, one-on-three team fights. You know, the show's awesome when it comes to the hand-to-hand. So I was happy. I don't think like we've seen in a couple of the other episodes, like an epic fight with all the members of the team really shining, or those close quarters fights that we saw against the ghosts in the mid-season finale. There you go, Steven had to throw it in there. So yeah, solid, but nothing groundbreaking.
There was the Damien Oliver fight outside the house.
That's true, where Oliver just gets owned again.
The mystical arrows, I don't think, is so much fight choreography as you're not going to take him down, Ollie.
At least not now. Eventually he will.
It's all setting up for it, and I still think John Constantine's tattoo comes into play.
Yeah, well, we saw that in this episode too. And again, we'll get to that later.
Yep.
There's just so much to talk about. We could go weave and miss stuff all over the place, but we have a plan. We're going to stick to it, Batman style. So there you go. All right, the next thing to talk about is...
I thought Cylon style.
They have a plan.
Neil, you put this in the notes. Ollie's decision to free Anarchy.
Yeah, and we talked about, or you talked about how he was thinking tactically. Do you think it was a good call or a bad call?
It was a desperate call. At this point, he had no better ideas, so he went the desperate move, and I think it was probably too soon, but he's still enraged over what happened to Felicity and wants vengeance, so I don't think he starts to think clearly until near the end of things.
Yeah, very reckless.
I'll give it to you, yeah.
Yeah, he is being reckless. It's a risky gamble. It could go bad so many different ways. It's an immediate decision that might seem like it's a good idea at the time, but then you have to deal with the ramifications later, so that's basically it.
He was just reacting, I don't think, and it makes me question whether he is being overly tactical or he was just being reactive. I think in this case, he was being reactive.
He's wounded animal backed into a corner, only not physically, it's more emotionally at this point. So he's just lashing out, trying to do whatever he can.
He was pissed.
Yeah.
Pissed.
Well, wouldn't you be if your newly anointed fiance just got shot in front of you?
Yeah, I also probably, if I was that high profile, I wouldn't be riding around in an unarmored limo, but that's just me.
Valid point.
It won't cost that much.
Well, I bet it's armored now.
Yeah, for all the good it's going to do him.
Let's talk about the other cage match that happened in this episode.
Chris, you want to take this one?
Speaking of people who are pissed, Diggle's pissed also as he beats the ever-living crap out of his brother, Andy, to basically try and get through to him because he wants to find where Damien Dark is to get vengeance for Felicity, and basically even tells his brother, the both of us aren't even worth one of her. So, yeah, his knuckles are all tore up and things like that, and it leads to a conversation with his wife later, but yeah. He is not go easy on him at all.
It was just brotherly love, Philadelphia style. That's all it is, guys. Older brothers are supposed to beat up younger brothers. That's how it's supposed to work.
I was wondering why he didn't let Ollie at him. Does it make sense to let John beat up Andy? Or, hey, you still got some of that pent-up rage, Ollie. Go and take it out on him. I'm just going to turn a blind eye.
But Diggle doesn't cross the line and kill that often. Ollie used to kill on a regular basis. I don't know if you want to put him in a room with someone that he sees as impeding his path to Damian Dark. And you probably don't want to risk him being identified by Andy also. The reason Diggle keeps going in there is because that's the only person Andy has seen from Team Arrow.
True.
Yeah.
I did not realize that Andy was dealing drugs prior to his stint in the army.
I didn't either.
No, I think it's the first time we heard it.
Yeah, so that gives a little bit more background to the guy. He just didn't turn evil when he was deployed. He was like that before he entered into the army. It made it a little bit more viable to me now, but I wish they would have come up with that backstory months ago, because I was like, I just don't get it now, but okay.
Yeah, they kind of just dropped it on us, like, oh, in case you guys need some more clarification. I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay, that works, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Felicity, we see her. She's not dead yet.
Did anyone actually think she was in the grave?
No.
Really, did anyone?
No, none of us.
They wanted
did.
You to think it so bad, but if you had a little common sense, you knew Felicity was not dead.
Here's our most popular character, aside from Ollie, potentially sometimes I would say more popular than Ollie. They're not going to get rid of her.
No.
Business case, bad. I mean, and they've already used the Lazarus pit. They've already brought people back to life several times, and they just couldn't do that in this case. So, yeah. All right. Will she become the Oracle? Are we going down that route, you think?
No, because she's going to get magically cured eventually.
But she will for a bit. It's like temporarily Oracle.
Wait until after Legends Tomorrow ends, when Ray Palmer is back in our time, and I think she'll magically be cured then.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Ray will come with some nanobots, and God, sorry I was hopping around through time.
Magic robots!
She'll be better.
I don't know what that was. I'm sorry.
She was cold-hearted. I said it at the beginning of the podcast. I went there right away. The bastard has to die. That was, wow. It was like, okay, Felicity is all in on this.
So whoever's in that grave is someone she likes then.
See, okay, do we want to have this discussion now? Who's in the grave?
Yeah, let's have it now. You know what? Everybody's waiting for it. We got Cajun Sean in the chat, you know, opining on it.
So. Yeah. Cajun Sean thinks it's the baby mama.
So my first thought, because we were writing back and forth about this before the podcast, and I was like, okay, Donna Smoke, Mama Smoke, Lila Diggle, because in the preview we see her with the gun to her head, and no, I still think it's Quentin. I do.
Really?
It's what they want us to think. That's why I don't want to believe it, because I'm trying to outsmart the swerve.
I'm going Mama Smoke, and I was going to bring up one of the points that was just made in the chat as well by Stephen John Drew, that in the flash forward 4 months now, so we're getting closer, she doesn't have an engagement ring on, so things have gone bad. She's not in a happy place. I'm betting it's Mama Smoke.
It very well could be.
I think she doesn't have the engagement ring anymore because she found out about Baby and Baby Mama and the fact that he kept it a secret versus telling her. Had he told her, I think she'd have been okay with it. But she wants no more secrets. And it's a CW show. So there's got to be, you lied to me, kind of thing.
At least they're sitting next to each other in the limo. Like, she didn't take a separate car.
But there's tons of space between them. They make no effort to sit close to each other. In fact, the space between them, you can feel it almost. You can feel the tension between
them. Wasn't there an armrest down between them?
No, I think it was up.
Okay.
An emotional armrest.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I'm not 100% sure who's in the grave, but if you want another crazy theory, it's going to be Roy.
It could.
That's how you write Colton Haynes out finally for good, is you kill him off. Because I know he'll probably come back a couple times. We know he's coming back in the back half of the season. So you get rid of him easily.
But it's a comic book show. Dead is not dead.
Unless you're Uncle Ben.
That's true. You cannot bring back Uncle Ben. It would lose all meaning if you did that.
I tend to think that's probably along the lines of Quentin or Mama Smoke, though, but I'm open to being wrong. Hopefully it's Laurel.
Although, you know, if you follow Colton Hayes's Twitter feed, yesterday he finally announced his new gig and that he's a co-star of The Grindr playing, was it Rob Lowe's son on a new series. So he's got a full-time gig with a pretty high-profile actor. So,
and if you haven't seen that show, it's actually very Arrested Development-ish at times. So I've enjoyed it.
And he looks like he could be his son. It works.
Yeah, he does.
Rob Lowe's career has just gone so differently than I thought it was going to go when he was younger. It's just, whoa, dude, you took that left turn in Albuquerque and nobody saw it coming. But yeah, he's done a great job with it so far. So yeah, Colton Hayes, congratulations. You got your big role and hopefully it continues with you. And hopefully you're not dead so you can come back and make some appearances. If not on this show, on the other shows. I mean, there's plenty of DC shows running around. It's the same showrunners. No, we've talked about crossovers before, but it's possible with Supergirl, definitely with Flash, and definitely with Legends of Tomorrow. So it's all good there.
Guys, we have a time travel TV show with all of these characters now. Even if they are dead, they can appear again quite easily.
It's a comic book dead.
That's true.
That's what I was saying. And you guys were like, no, no, no.
It's because we can't ever believe that SP is right.
Oh, that's a horrible meme.
My hands are off the wheel. Neil, where we go next?
I just messed up.
Horrible, horrible meme.
I was trying to continue it on.
All right, Anarchy, our villain of the week, who's been back from another week, Mr. Scarface himself. Guys, I got to throw it back out there. On the villain of the week scale, from 1 being Moist from Dr. Horrible and 10 being Manu Bennett's Deathstroke, where do you rank him, SP?
All right, I was thinking about this. He's flat out crazy, so that's always dangerous. And the dude's got some skills. I mean, he put together a great remote control thing, and he took down the Dark House. I mean, that had to take some skills. But Arrow could take him down in like 3 seconds. I mean, I know they fought and whatever, but 6, maybe.
Oh, wow, you're charitable.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a big maybe.
Yeah. I was going to go like a 3 or a 4. He does not do much for me. He's got a semi-burned face that it set him free, and he magically learned Kung Fu when he got his face burned.
It was a magic fire.
2 or a 3? Wow.
Yeah. The character just didn't do much for me. I liked much more the portrayal of Anarchy like I had seen in the Batman Arkham games. He was in Arkham Origins and was actually more interesting there, even when he was a whiny, petulant child there. Just as he was here.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to give him a solid 5.5. So just past the median. I think that he had some interesting character development. It was nice to see him come back for a second week. But I don't think he ever really posed a long-term threat to the team. I don't think his banter was overly engaging. It was kind of textbook supervillain. The unhinged bit was probably what moved it over 5 for me, but not very far. It's like, okay, I'll give you credit for that, but not a whole point. So 5.5, just over the midpoint.
In a move that should surprise no one, Chris is once again the hater.
I can't disagree with you, though. I mean, I went high just because of his planning skills, right? And the fact that he did fight Team Arrow and the fact that he did take down a couple of high security play, and he killed all those ghosts too. So the guy's got some skills. It's just, I'm not embracing him as a villain, put it that way. So
in the chat, StarSaber_222 is saying that he's up a couple of points from his first appearance. And I got to give him that. At least, you know, he was a bit more interesting this time. He was pretty vanilla in the mayoral episode with Jerry Ryan the first time.
At least he's memorable now.
Yes.
It's not going to be like we had this time. We're like, who is this guy again?
He's Scary McBurnface. Come on now. Yeah.
Scary McBurnface.
Who is this guy? Yeah, that was totally me.
That's his new name. Scary McBurnface.
Cajun Sean says he could become a longtime enemy for Speedy. And definitely, they seem to have a connection there.
A crazy connection.
Speedy meets Scary, Scary meets Speedy.
I see it in your eyes. You just want to let the devil out.
Speaking of Speedy, let's jump ahead here. I guess she can control the anger now. She didn't put an arrow in him, and that means she can get it on.
Bam, chicka, wow, wow.
For now,
it still could go badly.
We don't know if the rage comes back
I think she's still got that after Damien Dark touch glow to her.
And I think got once the touch. All I can think is that crappy song.
It's not crappy. I like that song. It's from the Transformers movie. It's on my good playlist. Don't you ditz my good playlist.
Boy, I'm just crushing SP multiple times today, aren't I?
You are, but that's all right. We can edit what's that all out.
And guys, I think we need to check back. So after figuring out that she doesn't have the uncontrollable urge to kill, so she spared Anarchy, she goes back to our handy dandy political consultant who she dumped earlier in the episode for a little booty call. Do we still think he's a double agent? SP.
Yeah, totally.
Chris.
They can't do it two seasons in a row, can they?
She's got a type. She's got a type. Her type is a double agent.
Double agents. It wouldn't surprise me if he is. I'm waiting to think there's some kind of trick that's going to come into play, and I don't know what it is involving that character.
Okay, either he's a double agent, they find out and he dies, or he gets in the middle of the crossfire later on in the season and he dies. Either way, he's dead. He is not continuing on to next season.
That's who's in the grave. Everyone loves the random intern dude whose name we don't know.
Random intern. Random intern died. You need to kill the bastard now.
He killed my intern.
Do you remember his name? No, I don't remember his name, but Dark has to die.
We haven't even come up with a standard way to refer to a political manager, a campaign manager, political consultant. We haven't even called him the same thing from podcast to podcast.
Yeah, and random intern's probably a discredit to what his job title actually is in there, but it sounds funnier.
I know, he's going to get a workout in the coming episodes, according to the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's not what you meant.
Oh, sorry. I went down the wrong turnpike.
All right.
Yep. And at Jenny Steven in the chat says that he is our token red shirt.
Yeah.
Red shirts, unite.
Damien Dark. Still a magical badass? I'd say so.
You just don't get rid of that. Yeah.
He's awesome.
I like it when he laughs, too. Like when the Flash went by him in the crossovers. Woo-hoo, what was that? He's great. Love that actor. Love him.
Neil McDonough. And his wife, that surprised me. I thought she would at least be somewhat appreciative that he saved her life and their kid, but kind of the opposite.
Well, I think she was appreciative of being saved. I think that she knew that the Green Arrow had to die because he is an impediment to their eventual Genesis thing. And let's go back to that. In the Genesis pit, we saw it before with the crops and everything like that down there. I think she was part of that group.
I think so. I would have to go back and look.
Yeah, exactly. I think she's been in several episodes. I think she's been in the Hive headquarters, which Anarchy took care of. And I think she was in the Genesis pit. So I'm pretty sure she has been around all season. We just didn't know.
Yeah, it's possible.
You know, behind every evil genius mastermind is the stronger evil genius wife behind him.
And in the case of Agent Carter, not so genius mastermind is behind him is a great woman. The evil, evil. Okay. I was just going to go to flashbacks because we haven't talked about any of the flashbacks. I mean, we talked about the jump forward 4 months and the jump back to present, but now we got to go back 5 years. So what'd you guys think?
It's all set up. It's set up right now.
They moved it forward, and it did explain a few more scars. We now have whip marks on his back.
But the tattoo was used. The tattoo glowed. We finally figured out what the tattoo was for, kind of.
Well, it didn't actually do anything besides just glow when the amulet or whatever, or the crystal ball was held up. So I'm sitting there going, there's got to be something else that happens here.
What, did Constantine give him a magical nightlight?
Magical nightlight.
Well, he watched Battlestar Galactica, and you know, the glowy back thing, he thought, yeah, maybe it'll look good on the front, so here you go.
You know, speaking of the magical nightlight, I was thinking, well, maybe it glows in reaction to pain, which is what took me down that, because if you ever walked around your house in the middle of the night and stubbed your toe, Constantine thought, I hate when that happens, you should have a light that if you get hurt, the nightlight turns on, you won't hurt yourself in your house in the middle of the night.
The worst is if you step on a Lego. It is the worst pain on this planet if you're not expecting to step on something.
And if you had a magical glowy tattoo, that wouldn't happen, right? This is a good thing.
I'm going to go and get one right now if you guys can find John Constantine for me.
Can you guys imagine the decimation that Stephen Amell would do to Legos if he hurt himself, you know, on the, in the foot in the middle of the night? Like, oh, Legos must die! Ah.
You have failed this city, Lego.
He'd take him out into the driveway with a 12-pound sledgehammer. Bam! 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 No more Legos in the house!
Throw them off the roof into an electrical transformer.
And melt. Yeah. You guys have anything else for the episode, or have we talked our way through it?
I think that basically wraps it up.
I think we've talked as much as we can, except I'm always game to talk about more Scary McBurn face later.
Hashtag Scary McBurn face. That's the name of this episode.
I want a co-writing credit.
I'll take the production credit on that one.
There you go.
All right. So next week, we have a great episode, AWOL, that is absent without leave, by the way, for those of you that don't know what AWOL stands for. And after the whole Bergdahl thing, I don't know why you wouldn't. But if you're not paying attention to what's going on in other places, yeah, AWOL, A-W-O-L. That's episode 11. We are going to see some great things going on. And if you haven't already, it will be in the show notes. There will be the trailer for next week. Now, we do something every podcast. It's fun. It started out as a Bat checklist. We went to the DC checklist, and then we found Easter eggs. So now we're going to talk about Easter eggs. So what do we got there?
Chris, you want to start us off?
I'll start us off on these ones. First of all, we get to meet Anarchy this week. We've met him before, but we know Lonnie Macklin is a Robin and Batman villain who terrorized Gotham in the 80s and 90s. In between bouts of being an anti-hero, because that's what was cool in the 90s in comics. That and lots of pouches.
Parachute pants. Remember that?
Yes, that's also true. In the comics, he had a crazy costume, called himself Anarchy. He did use the same A emblem in the comics as he did in this show, and it's also used in the Batman Arkham Origins video game as well.
How was he in that?
He's a whiny, petulant child, but it makes more sense because it's his origin story in Origins, and then you never really hear from him again except for a casual mention in Arkham City.
All right.
Cool. SP, I have some technical issues, so why don't you take the next one?
Are we talking about Baron Ryder again?
Seems that way.
All right. We've talked about him before. In the comics, Ryder is actually Blitzkrieg, the head of Shadow Spire. And then Shadow Spire is a criminal organization that first appeared in Milestone Comics Shadow Cabinet number 0. And we'll come to Arrow on January 27th. Ooh.
Ooh.
So that's next week. We're going to get a little Shadow Spire.
Then, of course, we can't forget that Felicity's final doctor came from Central City, the home of the Flash.
Flash. Whoosh. Yeah, I bet you Grant Gustin brought the doctor right to her.
That's possible. Or they probably just took the bullet train or whatever it is.
But Flash is faster.
That's true.
All they have to do is get on the bat phone and call the Flash Cave and...
Ouch.
Is your brain hurt already?
It does.
So we get the Easter eggs from an article on comicbook.com a lot of the time. There's an interesting comment in the comment section. It's probably more of a goof than an Easter egg. But I guess when they're showing the shots of the hospital, it still said Starling General on it. Whereas the police department was using Star City Police Departments, they either reused a shot or just didn't catch it or didn't change names.
It's a lot of money to change signs. It takes a while sometimes. It just doesn't happen overnight. I mean, the same people that are probably fixing all the windows that are broken with all these superhero fights are the same people that are in charge of the signs. So they're a little bit busy. They have to prioritize. If a storm's coming, windows get priority instead of the signs. Just saying.
There you go.
All right. So that is the Easter eggs for the week. And now we'll get on to some news. So the first news story, Neil, you want to take this?
Yeah, I'll take this one. First news story is ratings. And we don't always talk ratings on the Starling Tribune, but I think it's worth talking about this, that we've kicked off season 4 following the midseason hiatus. And the ratings are actually up after the midseason finale. Strong ratings in that key 18 to 49 demographic. You know, I just think that we've got a strong trend going with Arrow. People are waiting for it to come back. We're on the coattails of the DC preview with Kevin Smith the day after the Flash. This is great news for me because I'm a big fan. I think we all are. So more big ratings, bring it on.
I think everybody was concerned about Felicity, and rightly so. If something would happen to her, I would be right there with flowers. I wouldn't be hunting down her assassin. You know, I would be there with the flowers.
You're going to bring Reyna from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Ooh, that's a deep cut.
Yes.
We could go some other places with that, but no. Oliver, I guess, according to Mama Smoke, is terrible at finding flowers because they are important.
Evidently.
But I think it's great. I think the ratings are what they should have been for this kind of suspense in the mid of the season. And I think that in the middle of December, there was just so much going on and there was so much hype about Star Wars and just different things that I think that people took a couple of weeks to catch up. And now that they've caught up and they've waited, I think an extra week, really, because I think everything was pushed back an extra week because of where the holiday fell and the State of the Union and stuff like that, that everybody was just ready to get it on and see where this takes us. And we're only at episode 10, so we're not even at the halfway point yet. We have, 11 or 12 episodes left, so it's going to be a great ride.
There's a lot more coming, guys.
Well, speaking of a lot more coming, the second half of the season sizzle reel trailer and mid-season trailer came out, and it was awesome.
Indeed it was. I watched it a couple of times.
Yeah. There was so much in it. You couldn't get it all in the first one. You're like, was that? Who was it? Hey, who? Ha, what? Ugh. All good.
Yeah, there were some quick cuts in there too. So if you didn't focus on it, you'd miss it. So that's why I watched it a second time as well.
I saw All I Need to Know when I saw Oliver Queen's wife was coming back.
I see.
Yes.
I was waiting for someone to make the connection. I was like, it wasn't that bad, guys.
So we haven't podcasted for a while, and we're on a private chat that we have back and forth from time to time. I am a big, and I think I talked about this before the break, I am a big Hallmark holiday movie channel fan, right? And one of the reasons why is you get some of the great stars that are on these sci-fi shows, these comic book shows and stuff like that, because these are filmed in Toronto and Vancouver for the most part. Some are filmed in the States in different locations, but a lot of the times they're filmed in the summer, which is really hilarious when you think of all the snow that is down on the Christmas ones up in the northern parts of the North America, you know, in Canada, in Vancouver and Toronto. Well, Nyssa was on a couple, and every time she was on, I was like, oh, it's Nyssa! It's Nyssa! And I just melted down. And
did she kill anyone?
No, not at all. She was a gift giver on one of them. She bought presents for people on one of them. Very genial smile. And no,
here's
she
your present, a sword to the chest.
No weapons at all. No punches thrown or anything. It was just all happy and smiles. Yep. And she got her man. I want to emphasize that man at the end of the movie. Spoiler, you know, it's a Hallmark holiday movie. Like, that's not going to happen.
Speaking of Nyssa, though, we saw in that trailer, we saw Nyssa. We saw Katana. We saw Huntress. I'm like, oh, yes, bring it. I mean,
did you catch the Vixen?
Separate news story.
I thought I caught a glimpse, but I wasn't 100% sure.
It's just awesome. I think one thing the writers of this show have always tried to do, regardless if you like Laurel or not, Chris, is to bring strong female characters that really hold their own in this superhero universe. And I think by bringing back Nyssa and Katana and Huntress and bringing back Vixen, they're just continuing a great trend. If you take a look at how balanced the showrunning team is, as well as the writers. I know that Kato Shimizu has been in Vancouver overseeing production a whole bunch as well. Started following her on Instagram, actually, as well. She's got some interesting things. So I'm excited for more strong female characterization, some great heroes that we've been wanting to see back for a while in the second half of this season. Bring it.
Oh, definitely. I can't wait. There was a lot of action in that trailer. There was very few dialogue scenes, really. There were words splattered in there, but it was barely, if you got two sentences, it was too much, really. So it was a fun 2-minute trailer. So it'll be in the show notes. I put it in the blab. So if you guys want to take a look at it, great. So Chris, what are you most excited for? You didn't answer for the rest of the series.
Nyssa, please.
I know. It's just, it's almost a no-brainer to me. It's like Nyssa. Absolutely.
I really like the character. I like the interaction that Nyssa has with everyone on Team Arrow. It's an intriguing character to me, and I think the actress, actor, whichever term you'd rather use, is fantastic.
She knows what she's doing, and that's why one of the reasons why I enjoyed watching her on the Hallmark Channel was because of that. But we've got some greats. I mean, with Katana coming back, that's, oh.
I'm surprised they're allowed to bring Katana back, seeing as Suicide Squad's coming out soon.
Yeah.
Ish.
And for the live viewer, we will be talking about the DC thing with Kevin Smith in the post show. So hang on for that. All right, Neil, what's your favorite?
My favorite is, you know, believe it or not, so I'm a big Nyssa fan. I ran as soon as I saw a Lego minifig on a custom site. I was like, oh, nice. I need the Nyssa minifig. And I've got both Speedies, or Speedy and Arsenal now. But you know who I'm excited? I'm excited to see Huntress back.
Mm-hmm.
She's been taken out of the picture. I think she had great chemistry with Ollie. I think with Ollie in a relationship, that's just going to make it more interesting. I was sad that we didn't see Cupid, which would have really been great.
Yeah.
You know, it's the parade of the exes for Ollie, but I'm excited to see what Huntress is doing. I think right second to that is there was a lot of Speedy in that trailer. She was a badass. On her bike with the sword out going through an entire group of ghosts. I was like, that's a sword. I'm pretty sure that's a sword. I have to go back and see if it was her bow, but if it was a sword, she's not holding back. That bloodlust may be back in action.
I was thinking the same thing.
It's going to be fun seeing the choreography that goes with that. I feel for the character that she shouldn't have to deal with that. And Ollie is still bitter at Laurel about bringing Speedy back, by the way. Oh man, he is pissed at her. Ooh. So, listener, if you have a favorite character, a favorite portion of the trailer for the rest of the second half of the season that you want to bring up, don't hesitate to contact us at all the means, including our voicemail line. It's 612-888-CAVE or 612-888-2283. So, we also have a note on Legends of Tomorrow.
That's right. Oh, Matt Nable's coming back. He's going to be Ra's al Ghul on Legends of Tomorrow. I'm excited for this because I liked his portrayal of Ra's, and considering we assume he is dead in the present time, it'll be cool to see him in what we assume is the past on Legends of Tomorrow.
Totally agree. And speaking of people who we see again, we've talked a lot about Nyssa. They actually, just today, released when we get to see Nyssa and Merlin back, February 10th, an episode titled In the Sins of the Father. So can't wait to see. And there was a great, I think it was the shawarma scene or was the last clip that we saw in the trailer was saying, Oliver Vosvante this year, you're very handsome, but not very bright, or something to that effect.
I wanted to see or hear what he said after that, because you know it's important. And just Stephen Amell's reaction to just that was like, I want to punch you right now. It was a great reaction, but I was like, okay, he's saying something and I want to know. I want to know. So we'll find out soon enough.
Right in the kisser.
Pow. You could also see Barrowman saying something like that.
I know. I could see Barrowman and Stephen Amell, and I could see Stephen Amell go, I could see it. I could see those. Stephen putting him down. I could and John would just laugh it up. He would have fun with that too.
No doubt.
He would. Hey, speaking of more people coming to the Arrowverse, and you guys teased it before, on a tweet, I think two or three days ago, Stephen Amell said, let's welcome Megalyn EK, because I'm not even going to try with that last name.
Don't look at me.
Yeah, don't look here. I tried it and did not do well when I tried before.
Yeah, no, I would. No. So, Megalyn EK, who is the voice of Vixen from the CW Seed animated series, is coming to the live action Arrowverse. And over the last few days, both on the CW's Twitter or CW Arrow Twitter feed and Instagram feed, they have been doing some of the press shots for her with the animal totems. She looks awesome.
Yeah, very much so.
And our final news story, straight up news story this week, is something that should make a couple of people that are fans of Paul Blackthorne very happy. is that he is dating Big Bang Theory's Kaley Cuoco. And she has been making the rounds with well-known actors in commercials and that sort of stuff. And for Paul Blackthorne to hook up with her, that is pretty cool. And if I'm not mistaken, Big Bang Theory is filmed in LA and not in Vancouver. So the two are probably working hard and then meeting up, you know, in between shoots.
A tip of the hat to you, sir.
Yes.
If I had a hat.
Very well done, sir. Very well done. You did probably in a shorter time what's his name on Big Bang Theory took like 9 years to do, so Leonard.
Ouch.
So we're running a little bit long today, but in the show notes will be a lot of cast and crew interviews. Winnie Miracle, it pops up a couple of times. Thank you very much for putting that in the show notes, Neil. But the big story to talk about, if we want to, is Kati Lotz describes the difference between Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow.
Yeah, that was a great interview. She actually got into some detail about the feel of the show and the tone, the characterization, working with a compressed time frame, working with a really heavy CG environment, unlike Arrow, which is more street level. So definitely check it out. I think she's pretty fantastic. So
yes, I can't wait to see what everyone has watched already as we record this for Legends Tomorrow.
So a couple of the episodes that I have put out in the winter hiatus dealt with the first episode that Sarah was back on the show, or Sarah came on the show right after the pilot. And that was fun going back to the episode, because I watched the episode too, and seeing her on the door Titanic style and stuff like that. But also seeing the Huntress episode when she came back out of the prison, mm-hmm. that was fun as well. So Oliver has, you said it before, Neil, he's had a parade of women. But it's been a fun show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oliver gets around, guys.
Yeah, he does. So, Neil, we have some comic and toy news, and I'm interested in hearing this.
Yeah, let's try to run through these pretty quick. So first up, I don't know if people are aware of the Pop Funko box or crate services that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a fan of Star Wars, there's the Smuggler's Booty. If you're a fan of Marvel, there's the Marvel Collector Core. And for months now, like 6-9 months, there's been no hide, no hair of DC in the Funko universe. And I'm actually keeping a shelf on my Funko closet construction free for more DC characters. And on January 14th, they announced a Funko Collector box. So I think my Smuggler's Booty collection subscription is going to go the way of the dodo. I've got all the Funkos I need from Star Wars for the moment. Bring on the DC.
You know, my wife and I were just talking about that because the Smuggler's Bounty, not booty.
That's right.
The Smuggler's Bounty came today in the mail, and I took a look at it and was like, you know, this is going to go off to my nephew, and I'm going to cut the subscription because it costs like $25 a piece. And if you subscribe to all of them, you're just going to go broke. So there's no reason for it. I have an anonymous donor on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. that brings in the Marvel Collector Core one that comes in. And then I had been getting one as well for myself. And that was, it was okay when it started, but the quality has just gone down to the point where I'm like, if I really want one, I'll just pay for the individual Funko.
That's it. You know, I don't need the smaller stuff, but I'm curious to what they're going to put in the DC. The article that we have in the show notes actually says that it's pretty interesting because Funko has a broader license to the DC universe than they have for the Marvel universe. Hmm. So you could get other figs outside what you've been seeing. So it's going to be interesting for at least the first couple of crates. All right, leaving the world of Pop Funko, and just as a note, they still have not released the Felicity Smoke Pop Funko that they said they were going to release in January, but the month is not over yet. I'm still holding out. So into some comic news. January 14th, on Comixology, you can now get the Malcolm Merlyn Dark Archer Digital Direct series, which tells the story of John Barrowman's character, Malcolm Merlyn, leaving Ra's al Ghul and the League of Assassins and what he does before we get into season one. I am so excited. And what is super cool is the writer for this series is novelist, wait for it, Carol E. Barrowman. So it's Barrowman's sister is writing the series.
Wow.
And they've been doing a press junket together. It is hilarious.
I'll bet. She's the genius behind John a lot of the times and keeps him in line when she can. But so over the break, I also read Arrow 2.5. So I was like surprised at all of the stuff that that actually brings together. So if you have not read that, I would encourage you to read that. Well, in an off week, we'll go through it at some point in time. There's a lot of questions that I've been asking about what about this, what about that, and I won't spoil it, that are answered in that. So if you haven't picked that one up yet, you should, because it will answer a lot of the reasons why the show is where it is right now.
Totally agree. And like we did with Green Arrow Year One, I wouldn't be surprised if on weeks that we don't have a show, we start delving into some of the graphic novels that are out there.
Yep.
Tease, 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 guys.
Exactly. So also in the world of comics, and sorry, before we leave that, I should mention that the great thing about Digital Direct series are they come out every 2 weeks. When they were doing Arrow Season 2.5, they alternated with Season 0.5 of The Flash, but they're only 99 cents. And most Marvel and DC comics are anywhere between $2.99 and $4.99 right now. So 99 cents, it's a no-brainer. All right, what came out over the holidays as well in comics? In Comixology, if you're a fan of digital subscriptions, the entire run of Green Arrow and Black Canary. So that includes, if you're a video listener, Enemies List.
Ooh. Nice.
Family Business.
Nice.
Road to the Altar. I got more. A League of Their Own. I'm a big fan of this series. Big Game. Whoa. Five Stages, which is the first time that we see Mark Guggenberg write the character of Canary, or sorry, of Cupid.
Mark Guggenheim or Guggenberg? It's Guggenheim, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was Guggenheim.
Guggenheim, pardon me, and Andy Kreisberg, and The Wedding Album, which is awesome.
Nice.
So if you are a fan of both Green Arrow and Black Canary, I really recommend checking them out on Comixology or going down to your local comic store.
I bought Green Arrow number 48 this week.
Ooh.
And what do you think of the storyline?
I haven't had a chance to read it yet because I've been doing, you know, like three other podcasts, but I do plan to read it this weekend, so I'll come back next week and let you know.
Awesome. Also out, aside from that, was the New 52 Collection special edition from Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino. It's a deluxe edition that basically sums up the Outsiders War. Now, this was a New 52 series that was already out in trade paperback. This collects Green Arrow episodes 17 through 34. Issue 23.1, Secret Origins number 4, and Futures End Green Arrow number 1. Definitely worth reading. It is a great run. And the extras that they pack into that special edition are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Also out, and this of all these, believe it or not, was the most exciting because both in digital and in hard copy, and again for the video readers, was volume 4 of the Mike Grell run. So this is the continuation of the Longbow Hunters, Blood of the Dragon. And so this continues the story of what Ollie and Shadow do following the Longbow Hunters, which was volume 0 of that run. So definitely worth checking out. It's a classic style. It's that early 80s art style. So it doesn't have some of the polish you would expect for contemporary comics, but it really helps define who this character is and what he did in the universe. Highly recommended.
Lots of great comics out there. Lots of stuff dropping. So thank you very much for bringing that us through that. So we're entering into the feedback portion of the podcast. And guys, we did get a voicemail. Guess who it was from? Guess.
Batman?
Well, I'll bet, given the choice, he would want to be Batman. But in this case, we're talking about consultant Black Adam. You guys ready to hear from him?
Let's do it.
Bring it on.
Hey guys, this is Adam calling in with feedback for this week's episode of Arrow. Well, I'm glad they've stopped trying to make people think Felicity was the one in the grave. I mean, she was one of my suspects, but I considered that less likely than a few other people. But the fact that at the end there, she said that Oliver needed to kill Dark was pretty surprising. They're definitely going the Oracle route with her, at least for now, with her not being able to walk. And I guess that makes it a good thing that the new Arrow Cave this season is handicap accessible. I like what they did with Anarchy a bit better in this episode than his original appearance, though without his original appearance, they wouldn't have been able to do the development they did with him. It looks like he at least has the potential to be sort of a nemesis for Thea rather than necessarily Oliver. And that will be an interesting thing, assuming she doesn't end up being the one in the grave at the end of the season, which I kind of doubt. So Dark's wife is clearly more involved in this hive stuff than I first thought. I thought that he probably would have tried to keep his wife and daughter away from that, while now it seems like his wife may actually be one of the other leaders of Hive. And I do appreciate that Dark still has a sense of honor in that he was like, okay, you saved my family. I'll leave you alone for a few weeks so you can spend some time with yours. Whether he knows that Green Arrow has some reasons to spend time with his family or not, which I kind of think he at least suspects at this point. Diggle's stuff with Andy, I appreciate what they're trying for. It's just not clicking as well as I think they would like. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
I didn't notice that the Arrow Cave was handicapped accessible. So, Adam, that was very perceptive. I really didn't. But if it is, then there was obviously a reason for that. And brought up another point that I want to bring up is that Dark knew, or at least inferred that he knew, that the Green Arrow has family. So does he really know more than he's letting on at this point?
I don't know if he's just kind of taking a risk and guessing he's not all alone in this world. He might consider his team his family as far as Dark is thinking. I don't know that he knows that Oliver is the Green Arrow at this point.
I still don't think he does. I think the one point that Adam said that resonated with me, though, was really the involvement of his wife. So I had forgotten that she was at the Genesis Pit, but yet she definitely knows what's going on, is part of it, and has that bloodthirsty streak as well. So worth checking out what that character does moving forward.
Most definitely. So it's a nice time to remember, though. We're on a network, guys. You might have heard of it, the Gunna Geek Network. We got all sorts of cool little podcasts there. Not little. We got all sorts of cool podcasts there for whatever your tastes are. We kind of talked a little bit about Crossing the Streams. We brought up Reyna from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. See, I'm doing it now too, SP. He's brainwashed me.
Blame Wing. I'm not at fault at all for that. That is Wing, Operator, and Beef that did that.
So we like to highlight another show on the network on occasion. This week we're going to talk about Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition for January 20th, 2016. For those that don't know, it is a comic book podcast. This week on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition, consultant Black Adam runs down the first issue in the new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series, written by Arrow creator Mark Guggenheim. Lauren catches us up with four issues in the Mutant Comics series, including Scarlet Witch issue number 2, and Neil, aka that guy I can't point to very well, that guy right there, geeks out about a bunch of titles, including The Mighty Thor number 3, The New Falcon in Sam Wilson, Captain America number 5. Let the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition crew help catch you up on everything you need to know about your weekly Marvel comics.
Thank you, Chris.
Why, certainly.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
So, Neil, what do we got next week?
Well, next week, we've teased it earlier in the podcast. Episode name is AWOL, A-W-O-L, Absent Without Leave. Season 4, Episode 11, air date will be Wednesday, January 27th. Summary is an agent of Shadow Spire, who is an enemy from Diggle and Andy's wartime past, shows up in Star City. Diggle must learn to trust Andy, but he got more than he wanted about their shared time from the war. Oliver, however, must learn a new way of life when Felicity is now in a wheelchair and receives her code name.
Ooh.
Yes.
It's not going to be Oracle. No, they're just screwing with us right now. This is what they like to do. You think you know what's coming, but we're going to twist it around and screw with your heads.
They've done that a couple of times, but just they've wait. Been blatantly obvious a few times as well, so... You can't say they've always been covert.
The director is Charlotte Brandstrom. The writers are Amelia Ortega Aldrich and Brian Ford Sullivan. So looking forward to that next week, guys.
Absolutely. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing this show back on. The hiatus was good because the holiday stuff and everything, but I'm ready to roll now. Let's get this on.
Bring it on.
So thank you very much to all of our listeners and viewers and everybody that's downloaded the podcast. We really sincerely appreciate that. Everybody that is on Spreaker, you're listening live or you're downloading later, whether it's the live version or the posted version, the replay that is posted on YouTube. And thank you very much for our video editor, Chris, for making that possible.
Happy to help.
Great. And I want to thank all the live participants in the Blab chat. Everybody who jumps in, you make it fun to interact with your comments, respond, and it adds a great dimension to this. If you would like to join the live chat experience, you can join in on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on blab.im and search for Starling Tribune. And don't forget, after the show, we'll open up the fourth seat on the Blab interface for our live listeners to hang out and share their thoughts on this episode and everything DC. The next show on the Gunna Geek Network is actually going to be, you can find it on geeks.live, and it's going to be All Things Good and Nerdy, which is going to be on Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't forget, if you get a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We haven't had one for a while, so if you're a relatively new listener, we would appreciate hearing what you think of the podcast and review us, rate us, and give us the 5 stars. That would be awesome. And don't forget, you can like us on Facebook and YouTube. Our YouTube channel is the Gunna Geek YouTube channel, so go ahead and get us there. And you can always badger us on Twitter, all of us, including the other hosts, which we haven't seen for a while, but are still there. Wing, Jay, and all of the gang can get that and respond to you.
And a friendly reminder, you can get all of our contact information on the Gunna Geek Network. Just head on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com. You can check out all the other great podcasts there. You can head on over to the forums and be part of that as well. If you want to share your thoughts on anything you've heard tonight, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or best of all, give us a call, just like Consultant Black Adam, over at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283.
Guys, I think it's fair to say that was another great episode, and that about wraps it up for another week. So, any last words as we sign off and open up the Blab interface to our live listeners at Roundtable Nerds,
Scary McBurnface,
at Stargate Pioneer,
Flowers,
and I am at Neil Isn't Witty, signing off with Anarchy. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
Woohoo! We are now in the post show! Yay! And I definitely want to talk about that DC Justice of League or whatever tomorrow it was. Have you guys seen it?
I watched it, yeah.
I did not.
We're going to be shocked how interconnected all these movies are, unless you've seen a Marvel movie in the last 10 years.
So,
I had to take my shot, sorry.
Kevin, yeah. Okay, Jeff Jones, or Jeff, it was Jeff Jones, right?
It was Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns. Thank you. I knew that was wrong. Jeff Johns, I think he did a great job. I think Kevin Smith also kind of did a great job. I just don't connect with him when he's like that. So
you mean when he's baked out of his mind?
I don't know if he was baked. He was really excited.
He was very excited from what I've seen on the clips.
And I know that they're trying to get everybody to get to gen up for this sort of stuff, but I actually lost respect for the Suicide Squad. It is not going to be a movie that I like based on what I saw. So I am not going to see it really? In the theater. Yeah. No.
So I saw it. I showed the trailer to my girlfriend today and I looked at her afterwards and said, it could be okay. I go, but I would rather see them on Arrow still.
Yeah. And I had gotten over that. I was like, yeah, I would prefer them to still be on Arrow, but I want to see their take on the characters. But the crazy was a little bit just too much crazy for me. That is what I've been able to put my finger on, that why I didn't like it. And that's why I like the Marvel villains a little bit better, because at least they're reasonable. Like, I can see that happening. But in Suicide Squad, no. Although, I will say it ratcheted up a little bit for me with the Superman versus, or Batman versus Superman. And the only reason why is when Wonder Woman comes in. That is the only reason why I would want to see that in the theater.
I want to hear her speak at some point, please.
You know what I think's fantastic, though? And yeah, I cannot wait to, once we get off the blab, not that I'm anxious or anything, but here on the West Coast, I still have time to have dinner and watch Legends of Tomorrow. And the fact that they've said they're bringing Jonah Hex, there have been Easter eggs for Sergeant Rock. They're teasing all these other great niche DC characters. I am so excited. This is where they make it at least more interconnected. So yeah, it's, and Starsaber underscore 222 in the chat is saying it's crazy fun. So
can't wait. Anything else, guys?
Yeah, I think that may wrap it up. The seat's been open for a while. Thank you, all of our live listeners, for hanging out. Sean, yes, I want the chimichanga cut as well, sir.
Yeah,
hell definitely. Yeah. We'll be, just a reminder, we'll be back next week. It won't be me. It will be the Gonna Geek podcast. So it won't be Stargate Pioneers Blab. It will be Gonna Geek's Blab. But it'll still have the cover art of Starling Tribune on it. And just be... be on the lookout for the notification that will come through on all of our Twitter accounts, as well as the Gonna Geek Twitter account, when I schedule it this weekend.